Remember the eight that we have studied together and gotten to know our Lord better. So it all started with the most prominent attribute in Scripture, which is holiness, God's holiness. And from there we looked at, anybody remember? Love came forth, but yeah, we definitely looked at love. Justice and righteousness came from holiness. Just writing these down so I can count. Okay, that's four. And then we looked at another, after love, we looked at another two that go together. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Praise God for His grace and mercy. Then what did we look at? Faithfulness. Good, Brad. And after faithfulness, last week, God's goodness. Amen. So today, we look at God's long-suffering. And by the end, I hope that you'll say, praise God, He's long-suffering. Because if He wasn't, we'd all be in serious trouble. Let's just say that. Who would read Exodus 34:6? We'll start looking at some scriptures to show that it is part of God's character, that He is a long-suffering, patient God. Jackie, thank you. Amen. Notice it says long-suffering. We've come to this verse multiple times. In this passage, this is where, remember, Moses asked if he could see God. And God said he would put him in the cleft of the rock and then put his hand over the cave and pass by. And as God passed by, this is what God said about Himself. And in a lot of cases, this was the first introduction of these particular attributes of God by Himself to man. That's why it's such a key verse. But in this one verse, He says, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, good, and true. Right? There's five of our 10 moral attributes in that one verse, which we gave away next week's, which is truth. God is true. But God is long-suffering. Let's go to Numbers 14:18 and just establish that it is part of who God is to be a long-suffering God. Who would read Numbers 14:18? Any volunteers? Numbers 14:18. Come on, somebody. Howard, thank you.
The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children upon the third and fourth generation.
Amen. The Lord is long-suffering. Let's go to Psalm 86:15, and then the next person reads Psalm 103:8. So who would read Psalm 86:15? Thank you, Maggie.
But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
Amen. Long-suffering. Who would read Psalm 103:8? The word long-suffering isn't in this verse, but it teaches about His long-suffering. Thank you, Doug.
God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy.
So we've got mercy and grace, which we've studied already, but slow to anger. That is long-suffering, by the way. Slow to anger. Okay, Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And then the next person will go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. So who would read the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 13? It's in the Old Testament. Jackie.
And rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent of Him of evil.
Slow to anger. There it is again. And then Romans 2, 4. New Testament. We're just establishing this as part of His character. And then we're going to look at the manifestation of God's long-suffering. So who would read Romans 2, 4? Thank you, Howard.
Who despises thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
So this is talking about the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. The riches. So our God is a long-suffering God. Praise the Lord for that. And now we're going to see the manifestation of that long-suffering toward man. So we'll start in Psalm 103, verse 10, and then look at some Old Testament and New Testament scriptures that show how God manifests his long-suffering and how he interacts with us as his creation. So who would read Psalm 103, verse 10? The next person read Jeremiah 15, 15. So Psalm 103, 10, any volunteers? Doug?
Yes.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that is true? That he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Even as Christians, we still sin, unfortunately. And when we do, if he dealt with us according to our sins each time, in appropriate measure to the breaking of his laws, we would be in serious trouble, wouldn't we? But he hath not dealt with us after our sins, because he's long-suffering. All right, Jeremiah 15, 15. Here we see Jeremiah actually pleading the long-suffering of God. So one of the ways he manifests his long-suffering is that he does not deal with us according to our sins. Another word for long-suffering, of course, is patient. God is patient with us and doesn't punish us every single time that we sin, but he gives us time to repent, gives us time to get right, rather than dealing with us immediately because he's long-suffering. Okay, Jeremiah 15, 15, who would read that? Jackie?
O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long-suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered reproach.
So Jeremiah's praying and he's saying, take me not away in thy long-suffering. He's pleading the long-suffering of God and saying, I know essentially that I'm a sinner and that I don't deserve your kindness and goodness, but please take me not away in your long suffering. In other words, please be patient with me because you are that kind of a God. And so another way that God manifests his long suffering is by, again, being patient with us. And it's okay to plead it sometimes. So let's go to Luke now, chapter 13. And we'll see God revealing his long-suffering in his treatment of Israel. So who would read Luke 13, verses 6 through 9? It's a parable that Jesus spoke, but it's a parable all about God's long-suffering with his children. So Luke 13, who would read 6 through 9? Just a short little parable. Any volunteers? Who's brave enough to do four whole verses? Doug, thank you.
He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and saw fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down.
This parable is about Israel, and God is saying Israel is the fig tree, and he's saying, I keep seeking fruit and I don't find any. But he didn't just cut it down immediately. He said, I keep seeking fruit. Then I'm going to dung it. Then I'm going to dress it and give it another chance. But if you look down to verse 34 of the same chapter, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. God's long-suffering has limits, just like ours does. And Israel continued to push those boundaries, didn't they? Now, God has never forsaken his people completely, But he did allow Jerusalem to be razed. He did allow them to be taken captive for a very long period of time. Even though he initially showed a lot of long suffering. And here Jesus telling this parable is saying God is still being long suffering with Israel because they still exist. After centuries of disobedience, they still exist. And that is because of the long suffering of God. So God manifests it even in the fact that Israel is still here. And that God has chosen to keep his promises to them despite their consistent disobedience and rejection of him. It just shows his long suffering. Any questions about that before we move to Romans chapter 3? So we're looking at the manifestation of God's long suffering. Who would read Romans 3:25? And we'll see that one of the manifestations of his long suffering is his salvation. Praise the Lord. So who would read Romans 3:25? Thank you, Maggie. Now, the word long-suffering isn't here, but it's actually the same word, forbearance, and the same Greek word. And what it's saying is, through God's forbearance, he put Jesus forth to be the propitiation for our sins and gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But it's through his forbearance that God is a long-suffering, forbearing God. That he would be willing, after 4 millennia of disobedient creation, to still die for us. Amen? He didn't have to, but he chose to, because he is a long-suffering and forbearing God. 1 Peter 3:20, we'll see that God's long-suffering was manifested in the days of Noah. Which is very similar to the upcoming tribulation. So who would read 1 Peter 3:20? Philip, thank you.
Sometimes we're disobedient. And once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was appearing, within the period, it is 8 souls were saved on water.
When God instructed Noah to build the ark, the earth was already disobedient and already a mess. Living in sin, rejecting the Lord. But Noah didn't build the ark in a day, did he? He actually spent over 100 years building the ark. And during that 100 years, we read in other passages, he was preaching the whole time he was building the ark. And so this is talking about the fact that God gave man another 100 years to hear the truth and to repent. That was his long suffering. He could have just miraculously built the ark in a week. But he gave man another 100 years of preaching to repent. Now, unfortunately, man didn't repent and was still destroyed by the flood. But God's long suffering was manifested in giving man that 100 extra years. I think it was more than 100 years, but at least 100 years of Noah preaching. Imagine. And man still didn't repent. But he didn't have to give man that extra time. And then over in 2 Peter now, chapter 3, we'll find out that it's the long suffering of God that has us still waiting for his return. You know, why hasn't God come back yet? And you think about Paul. Paul actually implied in some of his writings that he thought God would come back before he died. He thought it was very possible. And here we are 2,000 years later, and God still hasn't come back. So who would read 2 Peter 3:9? And we'll understand why. Mr. Scott.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
So it's the long-suffering of God that has had him wait to give as many people as possible an opportunity to get saved. If you look down at verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Think about it. If God wasn't long-suffering, we wouldn't be here, because he would have already come back. So even the waiting for God's return is all about his long-suffering. Him giving man, just like in the days of Noah, that's what they're both in Peter, giving man a chance, giving man an opportunity to believe and to repent and not go to hell. So as with all the other attributes, it died. Do you think God wants us to emulate this one? Do you think he wants us to be patient and forbearing of others? We know he does, don't we? So let's look at some scriptures on that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Here God is defining biblical charity for us. Notice verse 4. Charity suffereth long. There's your long suffering. So biblical charity, which is what we're all to have, suffereth long. It waits. It's patient. And as we all know, it's also part, we just looked at the fruit of the Spirit last week, right? Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. So God helps us to be long suffering through the Holy Spirit of God. And Ephesians 4:2, let's look at that. God here is describing what we should be as his children toward others. And yes, God wants us to emulate this trait as well. So who would read Ephesians 4:2? Howard?
All lowliness and meekness with long suffering, forbearing one another in love.
One of the ways we can show love is to be long-suffering, isn't it? It's to be patient with people. Give them another chance. God keeps giving us another chance. I'm talking about mankind. And God wants us to emulate this trait that he has, to be forbearing and long-suffering of others. Colossians chapter 3, we'll see it again, verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, 12 and 13, who would read those two verses for us? The long suffering of God. Anybody? Jackie.
Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowel, mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against him. Even as
so God wants us to put on long suffering, and he wants us to forbear one another, just like he forbears us, to be patient and long suffering with each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. So yes, God wants us to emulate this trait as well, to be long suffering. Who would read that for us? 1 Thessalonians 5:14. One verse. Howard again.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men.
See, so that says that you guys need to give me lots of comfort, as it says, comfort the feeble minded. But it says, be patient toward all men. That's tough, isn't it? I mean, am I the only one that has trouble showing patience to certain people? Or is that a tough one? Of course, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can do this. And then James 1:19. Praise God, our God is long-suffering. And he wants us to be the same. Who would read James 1:19? Maggie?
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift
slow to wrath. That's long-suffering. So real quick, next week we'll look at the truth of God. And yes, he wants us to be true and honest. But before we do that, which of the traits has really spoken to you? Of the nine that we've looked at, anybody have a testimony of that? Or have any of them spoken to you? Take 5 minutes and just take a testimony. Anybody? Jackie?
When we looked at God's grace, it challenged me because I thought, I'm so quick to go to God for his grace, but I'm not so quick to show grace to others.
Very good. Anybody else? Have any of these nine traits spoken to you personally? Anybody? I know for me personally, holiness really spoke to me because that is something we all struggle with. And the Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. And that's a very all-encompassing thing to try to live a holy life, because it affects every aspect of who we are and what we do. Anybody else? Of these nine traits, did anything speak to you? Brother Scott?